All right, all right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right, all right. Welcome to the West Fresno Democratic Club Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Aline Reed, and I'm the club chair for the West Fresno Democratic Club. We want to welcome you this evening to all the listeners in Fresno and throughout the country, because we're going to get into some important things this evening, and we welcome your thoughts and your ideas, because we're going to talk seriously about politics in Southwest Fresno. So, one of the first things that I want to talk about is a communication that came out just recently from the county clerk, the Registrar of Voters here in Fresno County. And it's a notice about community meetings that are coming up, and it's dated February the 5th, 2019. So I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then give you the times of the meetings. It says you and or your representatives are invited to join Brandy Orth, Fresno County Clerk, Registrar of Voters, and her team in an important discussion about changes to the voting system in Fresno County. Our current election system is more than 20 years old. The current ballot creation and vote counting system must be replaced, and the county is exploring new systems that are certified by the state. At the same time, the Voters' Choice Act gives California counties the option of going to a new way of conducting elections designed to make voting more convenient and accessible. This new process allows voting locations that are open for 4 to 10 days and also allows the county to mail a ballot to all voters. Five counties, Madera, Nevada, Napa, Sacramento, and San Mateo, have already adopted this new way of conducting elections. Fresno County Elections will hold five community meetings to discuss the options related to transitioning from the traditional polling place model to the Voters' Choice Act model. If the county clerk decides to convert to a new model, there is required public participation. These five meetings are in advance and in addition to the legally required notices and public comment. And it says, please join us at one or more of these times. So here are the upcoming meeting times for this potential change. Wednesday, February 13th, 2019 at 2 p.m., Kerman Community Center. That's at 15101 West Kearney Boulevard in Kerman, California. The next one is Wednesday, same day, February 13th at 6 p.m., Sanger Senior Center, Senior Citizen Center at 730 Recreation Avenue in Sanger, California. The next one is Friday, February 15th at 2 p.m., Clovis Veterans Memorial Building, 808 4th Street in Clovis, California. And that same day, Friday, February 15th, at 6 p.m., West Fresno Regional Center, located at 142 West California Avenue in Fresno, Southwest Fresno. And then we have Fresno County Elections Training Facility. That's going to be on Saturday, February 16th at 10 a.m., and that's located at 4525 East Hamilton in Fresno, California. So, here we have the question of a new voting process. Now, why is this important to the residents of Southwest Fresno and Fresno proper? It's important because we're already experiencing issues of voter suppression. Now, some of you may have heard about the closing of the polling place at Unitarian Universal Church. They had their polling place closed because they had up a Black Lives Matter sign. And many of you who live in West Fresno, Southwest Fresno, know that many of our polling places were closed. I don't know why. I would be lying if I said I understood it, although there have been some talk about, you know, reduced turnout and things like that. But this idea of voter suppression has been going on across the country. And so I would love to hear what you all have to say about voter suppression in Fresno, voter suppression across the country, And the problem with having fair and equal justice in elections throughout the world. So I'd love to hear what you all have to say about that, because one of the things about democracy is it does not work if you do not vote. And one of the things that we're trying to accomplish this year with the West Fresno Democratic Club, well, we have several initiatives that are going on. But one of the things that we are going to be doing is a rolling voter registration drive from the entire for the entire year. So if you come to one of our general meetings, we will have voter registration forms for you to utilize, and we'd be more than happy to turn those in for you. If you'd rather do it yourself, that's fine too. But we are happy to turn that in for you. Also, we're going to be doing political education at our meetings, hopefully. I know so many people have busy lives. You have jobs. You have your children. Some of you, like myself, are taking care of elder parents. And so time is of the essence. So we're hoping that we can be very efficient with our general meetings and do some voter registration at the end of our meeting, maybe the last 30 minutes. And our wonderful board secretary, Carol Laval, was nice enough to place an order for pocket U.S. constitutions. And so because she did that, that means that we're able to have those available for the public when they come out and visit us at our regular general meetings. We are going to be having our next general meeting on Saturday, February 16th, at Rocchio's, which is at the corner of Fresno and B Street. It's right behind Rite Aid on the Golden West side of Fresno. So I'm hoping that all of you who are interested will come out and support the club, come out and help to change the West Side for the better. And talk to us about what's important to you, whether that be education, whether that be the changes that are coming to Southwest Fresno, whether you have questions about the new city council person that was recently elected. His name is Miguel Arias. He just recently got elected for District 3. He took over for the termed out Oliver Baines. And so we're expecting good things from Miguel. As a club chair, I'm hoping to sit down with him in the near future and talk to him about the issues that are important to Southwest Fresno. One of our other elected officials is Ms. Keisha Thomas. She got elected to Area 1, which is the Edison High area for Fresno Unified School District, and we just want to give a special shout-out and congratulations to Keisha Thomas. And we're expecting good things and big things from Keisha as we talk about moving the educational needle for our African-American children in Fresno. Now, there's been a lot of talk lately about the fact that there was a statistic that came out that Fresno is the 10th worst city in America for blacks. Now, some of you might find that hard to believe, but when you pair that with the Brookings Institute report that came out 4 or 5 years ago, you will understand that this should come as no surprise to most of us. And so, that being said, one of the things that the West Fresno Democratic Club is doing is putting together a needs assessment. That we're working on that right now, and we're hoping to cover the areas, do a sampling of houses around the following elementary schools. So we're talking about King, Lincoln, Sunset, Kirk, and Bethune, as well as Gaston. And so I had hoped, maybe silly of me, I had hoped to hit every household in Southwest Fresno, but I've been told by smarter people than me that that is really not possible, and so we need to take a sampling. So when you see some of our volunteers come to your door, please spare 5 or 10 minutes to talk to them and have them work with us. Okay, it looks like we've got a caller on the line. Let me see if I can click this person in. Hello, caller. 4277. Thank you for calling
in.
Yes,
this is Dr. Harris.
Hey!
Good evening, this is Dr. Harris.
Freedom Fighter on the line.
How y'all doing out there in Radio Land?
All right. Now see, folks, now we can get this party started.
Well, hey, listen,
Harris,
you did a good...
Go ahead. I'm talking to a pro now, y'all.
Oh, no. We're just happy, real pleased that you're running the board tonight.
I am trying.
This is my maiden voyage. Running the show and kind of giving me a little break and a little breather from running it 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
I'm just that dedicated, for our people.
Yes, he is, folks. And let me just say, Reverend Harris is one of the people on our executive board. Yes.
To really just bring the consciousness of politically what's going on with the black community here in Fresno. We're really in desperate need of unity right now, more so than any time of the 48 years I've been living in Fresno. And, the West Fresno Democratic Club, as you the president, you have done a lot to bring some fire and energy to the community. And we need good leaders like you that has the finger on the pulse of the community. And, someone who is not scared to speak truth to power,
Yes. This is important, people, because if we don't do for self, nobody else is going to do it. And many of us who have lived in Fresno know and have seen the changes, both good and bad. And so I'm 6 years old, many of us who are my age and older know about the changes. And we've talked about this before, Reverend Harris. We've talked about how redevelopment came through and decimated black businesses and homes in the 70s, in the late 60s and 70s in Southwest Fresno, and replaced it with nothing. And so now we have the Southwest Pacific Plan. And so many people are on pins and needles to find out about how this plan is going to be implemented. This is big stuff. We're talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent in Southwest Fresno, but we don't know how that's going to benefit the black and brown community in Southwest Fresno.
Yeah, it's pretty scary right now. You're talking about the gentrification of the community. There's a lot of pros and cons, talking to different people, black folks, about the development that's getting ready to happen in West Fresno. I think what's interesting is that if you look at the history of Fresno, you will see how discriminatory the city of Fresno destroyed the black community here by wiping out the entire community, which is black community, was over off of East Street by the California Connecticut, the bus
that's
yard,
right.
Office. They came
That's
in
right.
and just used eminent domain, and they wiped out the entire black community. You could call that
they
community
sure
the time of Black Wall Street, during that time of Fresno. And
right.
the black community has never bounced back economically from that, I will call a modern lynching here in Fresno. And so we've been crippled. We've been crippled here for the past 30, 40 years. You could talk about how banks don't want to give out loans to black businesses.
That's true.
I believe Keith Kelly, when he was here, he had did a survey on all the banks. And Bank of America got an F, and they're right in the heart of West Fresno. And
yes,
all of our black seniors are lined up at that bank early Monday morning, putting money in,
right,
putting money out.
Put
so,
money in.
You know,
that's right.
What, you know, this is why we were talking about, you know, trying to bring, not trying, we will bring a black bank here to Fresno for the needs of us, you know. And it was just a sad time right now that people like your mom, who was 100 years old, has paid many years of taxes. And what does she have to show?
Right.
What does the city have to show for her?
A depressed neighborhood and poor performing schools. And that's one of the things that people need to understand, that property owners in Southwest Fresno pay taxes as well. And, you know, there was something on Facebook or Yahoo or one of those websites just recently that black property owners have their property devalued like 26% below market value. You know, so you're talking like a fifth below market. It's crazy, Reverend Harris, and people wonder why black people can't get ahead. This is why we cannot get ahead, because we have all these roadblocks that are continually put in front of us. And if you don't own property, you cannot pass along your property to the next generation of your children and grandchildren. And this is part of the problem. I know in the 70s, when they put up that East Street main post office and they built a lot of homes off of Kearney and Crystal, my older sister bought a home over there through one of those FHA programs. They were trying to get home ownership and all that. And a lot of black and brown people bought homes at that time. Now, the problem is that they don't have programs like that anymore, which what we have now is predatory lenders. That was that whole thing where the banks had to be, you know, bailed out and all that, because they were going after people. And B of A was one of the main banks that would not refinance people when they got in trouble and their property was upside down on the market. So having a black bank or black credit union that is going to be more mindful of our wants and needs is something that's crucial. And I am sure that the powers that be in Fresno are going to be listening and watching to see if this actually happens. But I'm less concerned about that than the fact that, you know, we as black people, as Africans, have to start living the seven principles of Kwanzaa. And you're always talking about that, Reverend Harris. Could you just tell the listeners why it's important to do this? And people think I'm going off topic on the political part, but it's really not. You know, your explanation is crucial to an argument like this. So why is it important that we need to live the seven principles?
Well, I think in anything you have to have a foundation. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
I can.
I think in anything you have to have a foundation. And I think if we look at the principles of Kwanzaa, it covers all aspects of what we need to do as people to thrive in this racist country. We have to understand that this country here really don't give 2 cents about people of color. It always was concerned about white folk who was privileged to be able to advance off the backs of black people. If we look at history, we understand that black people built this country. We invented everything that that you enjoy today. I mean,
that's
if you just look at Facebook, just go to Google and just type in black inventions, you know, all types of stuff.
Remote control, traffic lights, absolutely.
Everything. And, you know,
everything.
It's just, and so I think what has happened, the Western European public education system has really hurt us as black folk, because if we understand history, we understand that that everything originated from Africa. Trigonometry, geometry, they've been trying to figure out how black folks built the pyramids. They didn't have tractors during that day. They didn't have bulldozers.
No, they did not.
So how this, were they able to
how did they do it?
Pyramid? You know, and so
they can't figure out how they did it in South America either, Rev. And those were people of color as well.
You know, I'm just saying that you know, those who are listening right now or coming back to the archives, type in Kwanzaa and read the principles, you know, and
right.
You will see that really anybody can live by the principles. But we're
anybody.
Really pushing black people
yes.
live by the principles because we need
that's
some type of structure. We need some type of
yes.
structure and foundation to
it's
work.
It's true. It's true. And you know, where we it's one thing to talk unity in theory, but the fact of the matter is that we need action. That elder circle that was held at New Life Church recently was very eye-opening, my third eye opened, because Mike King, who was one of the co-hosts, you and Mike King, talked about elders. We have the blueprint. We know what works for our people. But it takes many hands to make that work, to make it happen. And so
right.
we need the community. No individual can do this by themselves. We need an
right.
entire community to do this.
Right.
So we're asking people, you know, me as the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club, I'm asking people to get involved. And if you don't want to get involved with our club, I'm saying join any black organization and work in that organization, whether it's the NAACP, whether it's BAPAC.
Well, you know, I think that black people in Fresno are starting to see that there are people who are not respected here. I remember Alan Arkin one time said at a meeting, he said, you know, he said, black people in Fresno, all they do is bark and no bite. Now,
that's
he
true, he did.
He wasn't
no.
talking about me.
No.
I got a large bite.
Your bite is well known, Vinny.
I'll pull out plugs. You know, I recall politicians. You know, I recall
that's
Tony
true.
Vang. I put a recall on Cynthia Sterling because it's like, you know,
yes.
man, you're going to listen to us. You're going to listen
yes.
to us, you know. And so
that's
those
right.
are drastic. That,
that's
that.
Right.
Listen, Dr. King said this. He said, when there's a problem, identify the problem. Number
right.
one. Number two, negotiate the problem. Number three, if negotiations don't work, he said, then you move into direct action. Okay, that's
direct
marching
action.
Shut us down. So what has
right.
happened is the black people in Fresno has become so, some black people have sold out, some black people are scared,
yeah.
and some black people just don't care. You know, and
yeah, they're
so
complacent.
We're in a hell of a position.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a hell of a position right now as black folks. But I think that I'm
right.
seeing a little daylight. I'm seeing a little
are you?
Because
that's
I'm
good.
I'm posting things on Facebook like, why is West Fresno the forgotten community?
Yes.
Why
yes.
black people have no power? And so, you know, what I'm doing is I'm making people do some critical thinking, like inwardly
mm-hmm.
saying, okay, now, why is he writing
right.
this? You know, where do we fit
right.
in this conversation here?
Right.
You know? Fresno right now is the 10th worst city for black people to live in.
The 10th worst city.
Now,
that's
you
right.
You think that pastors, community activists, whoever, will be out in the streets, knocking, you know, marching, protesting.
Marching
you know,
and protesting.
Down the mayor office,
I'm amazed.
Going up to city hall to the
yes.
dice, talking. At the city. But we're not doing
yes.
none of that. What we do is
we're not doing any of that.
Right. We're not, you know, we spend our time marching for King Holiday in the streets.
Right. And then we
and
go
really,
home.
Right. And wait till next year.
And in the meantime, our children are in poor performing schools. Our elders are in their houses and need repair. All these things, and people wonder why things don't get better. Things don't get better because nobody is doing. People are not doing enough. Now there are some people who are out there doing stuff. But I'm saying they're not doing enough because it takes more than just a few. These problems didn't happen overnight, so they're not going to be solved overnight, but we have to start before we can finish. And one thing I'm seeing, Reverend, you tell me if I'm wrong about this. I am seeing a shift in the Democratic Party. I'm seeing all these people who say they are Democrats, but what kind of Democrat are you? Because there are conservative Democrats. I think in the old, in like the 80s and early 90s, they called them blue dog Democrats. Then you got the moderates. Then you got the progressive. And then you got the ultra progressive, where I think probably myself, you know, I can't speak for you, but I know you're progressive. So we have to decide how we're going to move in this Democratic Party if indeed we are Democrats. And I've been to Central Committee meetings for Democrats, and I can see that there's, you know, there's certain factions of this party that have control. And so if we want a voice, if the grassroots want a voice, we're going to have to agitate for change. And when I mean agitate like, you know, sand in your shoes, pebbles in your bed, crackers, all that, where it's uncomfortable for the status quo. So we have to get on the move, people. And Black History Month is a perfect time to do that, because everybody's third eye should open politically. And
well,
you should be listening to Malcolm.
Well, you know, on,
no, go ahead,
the radio, on the radio show, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, we go 7 days a week. This is one of the nights that we grandfathered a show to the West Fresno Club. And now, you know, you can see success, because now you know how to run the board now. But everything you do today is that's all, you do all the time. And so it's very easy, very simple. And, you know, we're building. That's what we're doing. We're building. We're being consistent.
Yeah.
We're being transparent. We're saying things over and over and over and over again. My point is that your vision of the Black Summit that we're going to be having in October, I believe,
thank you
really
for bringing
right
that
time.
Up.
Right.
Thank you for bringing that up, Reverend Harris.
Yeah, because, you know, I received some emails today. I guess word done got out that we're having it. And, you know, there's some other groups wanting to partner. But, you know, these other groups have to understand that, you know, your ideology has to line up with ours. You know, this is not about trying to empower other ethnics. Ethnics have power. Black folks have power. You know, we can agree to disagree.
Right, and so we cannot negotiate that away, what we're trying to build. We cannot do that.
Exactly. So, you know, when you look at Travis Smiley and, you know, all the different, State of the Black Union, different things that he does on a national level, that's what, you know, we're doing now. You know,
that you're absolutely right. And think about it, Rev. We had talked about this summit maybe not quite a year, but almost a year. This wasn't just a jumped up idea that we threw together. We have talked about this, and and this was way before this 10th World City issue came about. We were talking about this summit. And so, you know, our idea, I think, which is a valid one, is that we want to go from, say, Stockton, Merced, all the way down to Bakersfield, and we want to hear from the Black progressives in those cities, because they're suffering just like we're suffering in Fresno, although Fresno is getting the notoriety. But we all in this great Central Valley have the same problem. And, you know, it was really you, Reverend, that hit me to the fact that there were so many Black cities and black towns and settlements in the Central Valley that I didn't know about. And I consider myself something of a black history buff, but I learned a lot from, you know, you telling me about it, from me, you loaning me books about it. Black people need to understand their history in the Central Valley and understand their roots here, and maybe that will help get them motivated. I don't know. But I do know that this Progressive Black Summit, October 26th and 27th, we are talking about solutions. And, you know, we have one keynote speaker that's coming in from San Francisco. His name is James Bell. He is a juvenile justice expert, and he has worked, he is actually the CEO of the Hayward W. Burns Institute for Fairness and Justice in Oakland, formerly of San Francisco. This brother worked for the Youth Law Foundation for 25 years before he founded the Burns Institute. So he's going to talk about, you know, juvenile law, juvenile justice, and mass incarceration, because we have got way too many people serving time. And these are people, Reverend, you and I have talked about this, who have lost their voting rights, some of them. And we were just, I was just at a meeting last night where they were talking about there's a program in L.A. where they're signing people up to vote before they get convicted of their crimes. And so these are the kind of things that we need to have here in this valley for black and brown people, but especially for black people, because we died for the right to vote. In fact, I think you just posted something about that today on Facebook, that a black man went to vote in one of the southern cities and wound up 50 or 60 black people wound up getting killed because the white people went crazy. So we have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. So, Reverend, are we ready? Hello? All right, everybody. I hope that I didn't lose a lot of my listeners. I don't know what happened. I'm kind of new at this, so I hope you all are going to bear with me. And Reverend Harris, I apologize. I don't know what happened. My phone went dead, so I had to hook it up to a charger. So I apologize for that, and I hope you call back in. But people, it's important, it's very, very important that we try to stay the course and be involved in our communities. It's very difficult, I know, for a lot of you, because we spend so much time just doing the everyday thing. We go to work, we raise our kids, you know, a lot of you are like me, you're caring for elder parents. And so that does not leave a lot of time for anything else. But the truth of the matter is that if we don't invest in our communities, if we don't invest in our children, if we don't invest in the things that our grandparents invested in and our parents invested in, there's not going to be anything left. Okay, I see Reverend Harris calling back in. And Reverend Harris, I see 4277, Reverend Harris.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sorry about that. My phone went dead, so I had to hook it up to the charger. So I was just apologizing to everybody, and I was just saying that, you know, people have, you know, they're working, they're raising their kids. Some people are like me, taking care of elder parents, and so it doesn't leave a lot of time to do a lot of other things. But if we don't invest in our communities, if we don't invest in our children, there's not going to be anything left for the future if we don't do this work now.
Right.
So I don't know how I can emphasize that enough. You do enough work for like 5-6 people. You do. You know you do.
Well, You know, like I said, I just think that we're at a shift right now in the community here in Fresno. I think we need everybody, you know.
Yes,
but we don't need sellouts. You know, we need people who are really concerned about
the
people.
Yes.
You know, concerned about
the
livelihoods, living wage, health care.
A living wage, health care. And that's one of the things, if you could just speak very briefly about the Poor People's Campaign and the work that you're doing on that, I think that would give people a bird's eye view and help them connect the dots with why it's important to be involved. Because the Poor People's Campaign is actually, they're having an event tomorrow, are they not?
Well, this Saturday we're having a statewide convention here in Fresno.
Okay, Saturday.
We're going to be discussing strategies and different things like that pertaining to the campaign. Dr. King started this campaign before he was assassinated. Here in America. And so we have over 40, 50 cities across the country is mobilizing around social justice, around poverty, police brutality.
That's huge, Riff. That's huge.
And, you know, the network that we're building right now from city to city, we have those in L.A., we have those in Oakland, we have those
Now, I believe that you had a chance to speak at some rallies in the state capitol. Is that true?
Yeah, I did. I went down there twice. I believe you went with me once. And
yes, I went with.
And your mom and Maria.
Yes.
So we
that was exciting.
To represent Fresno.
Yes.
Fresno, for us, you know, we having the highest concentration of poverty.
Yes, it is.
The highest concentration of poverty next to Katrina. In New Orleans.
Right. Well,
you know, we just have to start learning how to allies. We need to start learning how to build collaboration, partnership. We have to take I and start thinking about we and us.
Absolutely.
Black people right now, and I keep saying black people intentional, because black people are the ones right now that's the last hired in the first fire. And
absolutely,
we have to come a point in time where we're going to have to stand, we're going to have to hold the front line, you know?
Absolutely.
And,
that's true.
We just have to figure it out. You know, we have to start
We have to start the conversation and see, when you are talking about speaking truth to power, that includes speaking truth to the people who are sellouts, would-be sellouts, house Negroes, all of that. Because, see, that's a drag on the entire movement. And people have to understand about that. And if the people that we're talking about who are house Negroes and sellout don't know who you are, I think you do. So that being said, the people who are allies with us know who they are as well. And many of those people are already working with us, you know, because we're talking about building trust, transparency, and building a base, a power base, because that is what it's going to take, a political power base. And, you know, I got an interesting email this afternoon, Rev, from, and I'm sure many people got it, from Nelson Esparza, from District 7, and it was a Black History Month celebration deal that he's asking people to come and join him on February 14th at City Hall. You know, I think it's at City Hall. I got to double check. But that kind of warmed my heart because that means that Nelson Esparza is embracing his black half as well as his Latino half. And I say, go brother. You know?
Right.
That's what we're talking about. That is exactly
right.
What we're talking about.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's and the thing that we have to understand as black folks that, you know, black history is 365 days out the year, 7 days a week, 24 hours
a day.
I get it about, you know, February, which is has the shortest months of the year.
That's right.
But at the same time, we cannot let people define who we are, you know.
Exactly.
We do that. We define who
we are.
We
do that.
You know, we don't allow...
You know, it's interesting, right, somebody else to define it. You know, this whole controversy, and people don't think this is political, but it really is, this whole blackface controversy is just as bad for a black person putting on whiteface with red lips as it is for white people putting on blackface. And if you don't understand why that is racist and unacceptable, then you need to go back and check your black history. And I'm saying this for white people, black people,
right,
everybody. If you don't understand why blackface is a problem, then you got a problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
That kind of plantation thinking has got to stop.
I don't even like our little black babies praise dance with white faces on. I think that's the most disrespectful behavior, you know.
Right. That minstrel show mentality got to go.
I mean, why would you want to paint your face white?
Right.
You know, God has made you a beautiful black child, woman, and
right,
boy, you want to paint white.
Now, if it's an artistic thing, you need to explain to your audience that you're a spirit, you're a ghost, you're whatever it is, that explain it so people understand. Because, see, when I see that without an explanation, I'm thinking in a whole different realm, a whole different realm. And black people have been the butt of jokes. We have been scorned and buked for too long to just let this go. And so now all this stuff is coming out. America is regurgitating all this hate and all this racism. And this bile is bubbling up and spewing out all over the airwaves now. And it's sort of like what Malcolm said about the chickens coming home to roost. Until we deal with race in a very progressive way, in a conciliatory way, we're never going to get better. It's like a boil that's just festering.
Right.
So Fresno, I think, and this is just my prediction because I always think positive when it comes to black people. My prediction is that Fresno is going to be ground zero for this groundswell of grassroots political power. Now, I'm hoping that everybody who's listening tonight, no matter what your color, is listening and understanding what I'm saying, we're not asking for political power. We are building political power.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, we're building. We're at a building stage right now.
Yes, we are.
We're building. We're and, you know, doing the assessments, I think, in the community is very key right now. Because too many times politicians always tell people in the community what they need. We never ask the people what do you need.
Right.
And I think your approach is so different from, you know, everybody else's, that you're going in the community asking people, what are the problems? You know, tell me.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
not you telling them, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
And that's how we build. That's how we build community.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it, Rev. And this is important. And people might think that, you know, we have got to start somewhere. we don't have to reinvent the wheel on this one. All we have to do is be honest, transparent, and ask the people what it is that they need. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm like a lot of other people. I spend 90% of my time on survival and taking care of my mom. That's 90% of my time. So the other 10% that I devote to my community, well, it might be like 75-25 now, but it used to be 90%. That is what most people who live from paycheck to paycheck do. We have got to make that easier for them and understand that they're investing in their communities when they come out to the West Fresno Democratic Club and join for $15 a year, or if they come to your church and they're listening to church services, or if they come to the Poor People's Campaign and they're participating in policy changes for their community. We have power. We have power, and we cannot let anybody tell us that we don't. If you are breathing and you understand what we're saying, the sound of our voice, you have everything you need to make a difference in your community. Everything. But you can't be afraid. And this is something you've talked about, Reverend, the fear factor in politics, in local and local politics, the fear factor.
Right. Yeah, I always talk about that because, you know, as I told our people, you know, no excuses and no fear.
No excuses, you know, no fear.
No excuses and no fear. Because, you know, fear will stop you in your tracks.
Yes. And it's difficult, Rev, when somebody got their job on the line or think that they have their job on the line.
Exactly.
That's real stuff. People have to understand that that's why so many children and teenagers were out in the civil rights movement protesting so their parents could be at work, earning a living. And those children and those teenagers at those lunch counters in front of those water hoses with those dogs, they were out there just like the grown-ups.
Right.
So young people made a huge difference.
But can you imagine, you know, Bull Connor and all these people back in Alabama shooting people down with water hoses. I mean, it was this country that said that black people was 3/5 of a human being. That was in the U.S. Constitution.
Yes, sir. It was legal, but it wasn't moral. Yeah. Didn't make it right, but it was legal. And not only that, after the Civil War was fought, after we were so-called free, and I'm using air quotes, although y'all can't see me, then we had Reconstruction and Jim Crow. And there are some of us who are in the process of reading Michelle Alexander's book called The New Jim Crow. And I think a lot of us can talk about the new Jim Crow because that's what we're all experiencing. Now, the fact that so many black and brown people, but I'm talking about black people specifically here, that so many black people are killed by police in this country. We should all be out in the street about that. Tamar Rice, Mike Brown, I mean, Amadou Diallo back in the late, I mean, all these people, Sandra Bland, we could go on and on. If we said all their names back to back, we'd be on the show for hours. We should be in the street about police, sworn police officers killing black men, women, and children. And now you got an issue where police officers are saying, well, you know, wearing body cameras, we can't do it. It's hindering our duties as police officers. Really? Accountability? You got a problem with that? You know, and I'm talking about here locally. I was at a meeting a couple of months ago where the chief of police said that there are more cameras in Southwest Fresno than in any other portion of Fresno. Now, if that is indeed true, and once Fresno is safe, I'd like to invite Chief Dyer and some of his top officers to move to Southwest Fresno and live there. If Southwest Fresno is safe because we have cameras mounted, I invite them to come and live there. Come on down. There's plenty of houses that are vacant in Southwest Fresno. And I think that should be part of their training program, Reverend Harris, that when they get to be sworn officers in Fresno, that they come spend 6 months living in a house in Southwest Fresno so that they will understand what black and brown and Hmong residents are talking about living on the west side.
Right, right. Well, there's many issues. I think we have to take one step at a time. I believe we have to read. I know one thing you're always telling me you're going to is book club.
Yep.
We need to, you know, research history, look at what our ancestors did. I believe the blueprint is here already. I believe the Black Panther Party gave us the blueprint. We just need to execute it. I believe that there's a little hope.
There's a lot of hope. We just have to make sure that we don't just talk about these changes, but that we actually do it. And in order for it to be a successful movement sooner rather than later, we need all hands on deck. And I'm looking at the time, and I see we're getting close to the end. And I appreciate you, Reverend Harris. I just want to say how much I appreciate you, not just for teaching me how to run the board, but for having the patience to really sit down and teach me in a very positive way. And so in that way, you know, this is how we get the word out. So you teach me, you teach other people, and we keep this message rolling. I have a very good feeling about the changes that are coming to Southwest Fresno. But the first thing, well, I guess I should say the last thing. One of the last things I want to say tonight is, people, you free your mind and your behind will follow. It's a fact. It is a straight up fact. Free your mind and your behind will follow. So
I just wanted to say before last 30 seconds, tomorrow, this past week, we did the documentary of Fannie Lou Hamer, two
great.
Nights in a row. Then we did Janet Sumler from Take a Stand,
mm-hmm.
and then the next night we did Keenan McFadden.
That was a great show.
I went to Keenan McFadden event tonight. I kind of got lost, but I found it, and then I had to come home and get on the show with you. But it seemed like she had a nice turnout. I didn't get anything to eat, but I gave a nice donation to them.
That's
from us.
Wonderful.
She was doing what she do best, you know.
That's wonderful. That's what we need.
And
all right, go Keena.
We had you tonight, and then tomorrow we're gonna have the Poor People's Campaign. Hopefully, Brother Kevin from Sacramento, and then Saturday we'll go live a little bit, maybe interviewing some of the organizers from all over California.
Oh, that'd be great! Oh, people, you gotta tune in and listen to that.
Yeah, and so just visit my Facebook. We have Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Facebook show. I will be building a website soon where I can get some time. But you can go to my regular Facebook, Floyd Harris Jr., and you can go to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show on Facebook. Google my name, Google Allen Reed name. Go to YouTube. There's things at Kwanzaa on YouTube with Aileen, who is our Madam President at this time. And we're just trying to raise the consciousness. You know, we're just trying to bring people together. I do a lot of posting on my Facebook, just statements.
Yes,
to make
she does,
people
y'all.
Open up. I'm learning. I'm learning a lot. I told the women today, I appreciate you guys. You know, you guys need to start leading, you know, and I'll block for you, you know. I just think that we're at a time, a crucial time for black people right now that we need. We know what the problem is. We need solutions. But when we call our people to come together, you need to come. You know, don't give a bunch of excuses. Come, you know.
No excuses.
I asked for 20 black men to come, and all I got was two. You know, and that's sad. That's sad.
Mm.
So it tells me that the black man at this point, we're not together. We're not together. And until the black man can come together, we're just going to be crippled, you know? We're going to be crippled. And so the women have to step in.
It's going to take us both. Yes, yes. But we can't do it without y'all, Rev. We cannot do it without y'all. We need your strength. We need your courage. We need all of that to make a whole. So.
Exactly. Well,
it's going to happen.
That's all
okay,
I
appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in, Rev.
All right.
And I appreciate all your support. And everybody out there listening, the West Fresno Democratic Club wants to invite you February 16th. And I look forward to talking to all of you again next Thursday at 8 o'clock. But until that time, I want you to stay black until we get back. All right now. Peace.
All right.